mentioned a moment ago, tonight's just going to give you an introduction to the book of Philippians. And then on following Sunday nights, Lord willing, we'll just give you some sermons from the book of Philippians. And we'll just go chapter 1, verse 1, and go through as time permits. But if you ever have, somebody said, if you've ever had trouble seeing how faith can be dressed in everyday clothes, Philippians is for you. It's just practical terms. It runs the gamut of human experience and attitudes and emotions. In the book of Philippians, you experience, somebody said, joy and bitterness. Unity and bickering. It's in the Paul's letter to the book of Philippians, the Philippi brethren there. There's arrogance and humiliation. They're just things that are practical in your life and mine. Paul wrote the book from when he was in house arrest in Rome. And he wrote to the believers there in the city of Philippi. Located on the northeastern Greece, about 10 miles from the port city. It's on what you would call, historians call, the Ignatian Way. If you've ever heard that phrase, that was the major highway back then, east-west highway, from Rome to Constantinople, or Istanbul, or Bithynia. So all of these places are Byzantine, not Bithynia. It was written approximately 60 or 62, early 60s, I'll make it approximate, when Paul was waiting for a trial and making his appeal to the Roman Emperor Nero. And so when Paul writes to the brethren in Philippi, he thanks them for sending help to him, monetary help, to defray expenses when he was traveling. He wanted to warn them against false teachers, and he wanted to urge them to greater unity. You know, that unity that was already existing, but he said, let's do more. Philippi is a Roman colony, and Paul established the congregation there on his second missionary journey, probably around AD 50, early 50s, I'll make it approximate again. So when Paul, after establishing the congregation, when he moved on, they supported him, sent him aid, one of the few churches to do so. And so now Epaphroditus has come to Rome from Philippi. And Epaphroditus has told Paul about the congregation in Philippi and how it's doing. And also to encourage Paul. Now, Paul is going to send Epaphroditus to Philippi with this letter to them, having heard all about the congregation. I know you can't see. You have, sometimes in your Bibles you have maps in the back. Our pew Bibles don't have maps. But Philippi is the northern part of the Aegean Sea, right in the very middle of this whole Mediterranean Sea. And so when you're going to find out when Paul gets that Macedonian call, he's in Troas, just a short journey across the northern part of the Aegean Sea to Philippi. And that was the northernmost part of his missionary journey. So that's the kind of good handle on where Philippi is. I'm going to read the book, and I said, no, let me just give you I just wrote down a little introduction for Philippians. So approximately AD 50, Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy, all four are on this ship. It goes from Troas to Neapolis and then short journey to Philippi. Again, it's his second missionary journey. And he is returning to all the churches that he went on his first missionary journey to reestablish them and see how they're doing. Then he continues his journey all the way to Philippi. And according to Acts 16, he stops from going north to Asia. He doesn't go northeast to Bithynia. Because while in Troas, the Lord speaks to him through a vision. He saw a man from Macedonia pleading with him to come over and help them. And in verse 10 of Acts 16, it says, "Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel to them." So then Paul and his company, they leave Troas. They sail to that seaport city of Neapolis. From there they go to Philippi. And then Philippi was a Roman colony, very wealthy city, on that Ignatian Way, a major thoroughfare, east-west thoroughfare. And when they arrived there, they didn't find a synagogue where Paul was accustomed to go and start preaching, because that's where the people would gather. But he went to the riverside where worshipers were gathered on a regular basis, the text says. There they met a woman named Lydia. Paul preaches to her, and she and her household were baptized. And in gratitude for what the Lord had done, she offered her home as a place of lodging for this missionary team. As soon as it became evident that God was going to bless the preaching of Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy in Philippi, there was an opposition developed because a demon-possessed girl followed them around when they were preaching. She associated themselves with her, and she would loudly announce their arrival. Well, within a short time, Paul cast the demon out of this lady. But the men who owned the girl and were using her for their own gain were furious at that. They didn't appreciate Paul taking away, in a sense, their income. And so they had Paul and Silas seized. They were beaten, thrown in prison. As you know the story of the Philippian jailer, they're locked in the inner prison, placed in stocks under secure guard. At midnight, they're singing, an earthquake broke open the prison doors and freed all the prisoners from their bonds. The jailer, who was asleep at the time, awakes to see the situation. And thinking the prisoners have escaped, he's about to take his life. Paul calls out with a loud voice, "Don't do yourself any harm, we're all here." So the jailer calls for a light, and he comes in trembling before Paul and Silas. But then as a result of this event, he and his household are baptized. And then the officers and the magistrates tell Paul and Silas that they should depart. You need to find another city. So 10 years after this, Paul's a prisoner in Rome, and he writes to the church in Philippi. And three times in this letter, he expresses gratitude for the gift that they had sent to him, especially this time by Epaphroditus. And again, Epaphroditus also tells Paul about the situation of the church in Philippi. So Paul writes back to them to ease their concern about Paul's situation in jail. In Rome, Paul writes to encourage them and to make some corrections. Paul learned that a spirit of division had developed in the congregation in Philippi. He admonishes them to be unified. Six times in the letter, he refers to the coming day of Christ. He reminds them finally in the last chapter, the Lord is at hand. And then he concludes his letter with some encouraging words because they're anxious about Paul's situation being in a Roman prison. Obviously, you know, we usually think of a major theme in the book of Philippians is joy. The word rejoice is found 9 times. The word joy is found 4 times. And the expression rejoice with 2 times. So even though Paul is writing to or from a Roman prison back to this congregation, evidently he's still filled with joy, but he emphasizes that the joy is because of his relationship with Jesus, not because of the circumstances that he's in. The letter begins and ends with the name of Jesus. 40 times, or over 40 times, the name of Jesus is mentioned. It's only 4 chapters. 40 times, depending on the translation, the name Jesus is mentioned. 18 times just in chapter 1, in his introduction. And at least one time, the name of Jesus is mentioned in every four or five verses. Paul sees himself in his opening phrase as a slave of Christ. He refers to the Philippians as saints in Christ. He describes his imprisonment as being as his bonds in Christ. And even though in chapter 1 he knew that some preachers were taking advantage of his imprisonment, he rejoices that Christ was being preached. We'll talk about that. Paul reminded them that he abandoned in chapter 3 all things for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. He spoke of his own life as life in Christ. He admonishes the congregation to be unified. There were a couple ladies he mentions that were not getting along. He expresses hope that they would let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Paul's plan is to send Timothy to them, and he hopes Timothy would come back with a good report, and Paul also thinks that he may even make a journey back to Philippi. He also points in the letter that his citizenship is in heaven, that he's waiting for the Savior to come. And he closes the letter out by expressing his desire that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ would be with them. So as we go through this letter, observe, I think, the testing of our joy in the midst of trials or troubles or hardship. The testing of our joy. How can we have a happiness or a blessedness when we know brethren are struggling, like these brethren were worried about Paul in a Roman jail? Here they had these opposites going on. Troubles. Paul needed to make some corrections, but he still expresses joy. I want to be able to do that. So we'll find out about that as we go through the book of Philippians. So just the story. In the Pew Bible, you'll see, and I'm going to kind of use these headings that whoever the translator of this New King James, he divides it into paragraphs, some larger than others. And I'll just kind of take those sections in each sermon and go through the book of Philippians for you. I was going to read just to go back how Paul came to start. And let me just do the introduction. Here's how the missionary journey, Paul's second journey on the way to Philippi. It's in Acts chapter 15, beginning of verse 36. Acts 15, verse 36. Then it finishes up in chapter 16. It says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas on the first journey, let's go back and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord. See how they're doing. Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia, and not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp, they parted from one another. So Barnabas took Mark, sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Came to Derbe and Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple there named Timothy, son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. His father was a Greek. Is well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him. He took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. For they all knew that his father was Greek. As they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. That's back in chapter 15. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, increased in number daily. And when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia. The Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And you know the story. The conversion of Lydia, the story of the demon-possessed girl, and the jailer Philippi. So the congregation in Philippi had a start with Lydia and her household, and then with the jailer and his household. Just interesting. So we'll pick up the story in with Philippians chapter 1, beginning of verse 1. You can even see it with the Bible review, the first 11 verses, 10, 11 verses, it's Paul's prayer and thanksgiving. And I've been going through those things, looking ahead. I think there's at least 9 qualities of fellowship that existed. Paul says, "I thank you for this. I pray this about you." And so we'll look at those 9 things and see if we can match that or emulate those things that were evident in the church in Philippi. So that's the lesson this evening. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. There may be one this evening. Now, remember, the New Testament church, you've never been baptized for remission of sins. You had that opportunity. If you want the brethren for strength or encouragement, we can also accomplish that. So let's, as our custom and tradition, let's stand together and sing a song at the close of our lesson. If you need to respond in a public way, if that's your desire, your resolve, just simply let it be known at the close of the song.